Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're continuing our Bible study, our study through the book of 1 Corinthians. Today we are going to be speaking about someone that is crucial, vital, absolutely necessary in our walk with Christ. And that person is the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 6 of chapter 2 in 1 Corinthians. Verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. We are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, the one spoken about here in this passage, you would enlighten us to the truths you have for us this morning, that you would help us to understand the spiritual significance of our relationship with you, that you would help us to understand what it means to be truly spiritual, and that we would rely on you to give us this wonderful spiritual relationship. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In contrasting human wisdom with the spiritual wisdom, the Apostle Paul explains in this passage why the natural man looks at the truth of Jesus Christ as foolishness. Like in many churches, Corinth had people who tried to marry human wisdom with religious action for Christ. They tried to marriage human wisdom with religious action for Christ, hoping to help the Lord in his mission of the church. Now, the culture in Corinth, like ours today, went by pagan principles. They taught pagan principles. And these pagan principles influenced the thinking and the culture of Corinth, just like they do today. These principles were bleeding over into the thoughts and actions of the Corinthian church. David Wells, in his book, The Courage to be Protestant, reveals these pagan thoughts as he expresses how they are corrupting our church today. These same pagan thoughts that was corrupting the church at Corinth are the same pagan thoughts that are corrupting the church today. I wrote a summary of these thoughts, and I'd like to read it to you. As Wells discusses the new spiritualities at work in the American culture, he lists three assumptions that come in the form of a pagan mindset. The first assumption is that man has access to the sacred. There are no boundaries between the natural and the sacred. Access to God and the supernatural is readily available. There is access to the spiritual dimension without any cost, without any thought, without pain, without waiting. The impact of this assumption can be seen in the have-it-your-way style of churches that strive to be, quote, seeker-sensitive. The assumption is made that man can come to God on his own terms, when he wants, how he wants, and get what he wants from God. That is what we're seeing in our church today. This assumption has led to the church disregarding the Christian doctrines of creation and sin. God does reveal himself to man through creation or natural revelation. However, that revelation does not lead to salvation. Revelation that leads to salvation comes from God revealing himself to man in a supernatural way. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The second assumption is that sin has not hindered access to the sacred. We see this in the pagan mindset today. The absolute truth that man is a sinner has been lost in the American culture. The truth that sin is a barrier to man's access to God has been disregarded, producing a thought in the church that man can have a relationship with God without dealing with the barrier of sin. Many churches have completely abandoned teaching on the biblical concept of sin to appeal to this mindset. We are seeing this in churches today. The third assumption is that spirituality is discovered from within the individual, not from objective external influence. This leads to man believing that all he needs to understand the spiritual lies within himself. This belief is in contrast to Christian belief that recognizes the Word of God as the source of spiritual understanding. Churches today are looking to their own experiences and feelings for spiritual insight instead of looking to the Bible, which is producing all kinds of false teaching on what it means to be spiritually mature. We have seen the results of this. I've talked to people who put their experience and what they feel inside above what the truth of God states in His Word. And that mindset comes from the influence of pagan culture. And so it's very important that we understand this and combat this in our midst, in our congregation, okay? And so as people come in from a world filled with pagan culture and infiltrating their mind, they see the difference, the stark difference between what they have in their human wisdom and what God will reveal to them in His wisdom. Okay, that's what we want to see. We want people to not come in and say, oh, this is just like what I have always seen. No, we want them to come in and be met with a God whose kingdom is completely different than what they are familiar with. And that comes as we get the pagan mindset out of our lives and out of our church. Okay? And so this is very important, and it will help us understand this passage that we're talking about. Wells goes on to say that our relationship with God must be generated from above. I love that, because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a relationship that it comes down from God, not something that we've generated to go up to Him. Okay? And that's very important. We cannot generate a relationship with God by our own abilities or actions, either in ourselves or in others. We can't generate that. We cannot do it on our own terms. It must come from God. That is why Paul puts great emphasis on the Holy Spirit of God in this passage. As we see what the Holy Spirit must do in order for man to be truly spiritual, we will understand that human wisdom should have no part in our thoughts or actions as followers of Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at this passage and see what the Holy Spirit does to make us spiritual. First of all, let's read verse 6 through 11 again. It says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." My first point is this. The Holy Spirit makes you spiritual by showing you God's plan of salvation. That's the first thing we need to understand. The Holy Spirit makes you spiritual by showing you God's plan of salvation. Notice that God's plan of salvation, namely the crucifixion of His Son, was hidden from the rulers of this age. It was hidden from them. There was a purpose in that. Their wisdom was not sufficient enough to bring them to an understanding of God's plan of salvation. That's clearly seen in this. Had God revealed it to them, they would have not crucified the Lord. So this whole description that the Apostle Paul is giving us of history points to the fact that natural man cannot know God's plan of salvation apart from Him revealing it to him by His Spirit. You see, before time even began, God, in His infinite wisdom, worked out a wonderful plan that would compensate for man's failure to obey Him. One that would break down the barrier between man and God that sin had created. A plan so perfectly orchestrated by Jesus that it would sustain eternal life for all who would trust in it. What was that plan? Well, I'm glad you asked. That plan is God sending His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect sinless life, to show His wonderful love to all humanity, and to die on the cross as a sacrifice, as a payment for the sins of all mankind. And then He rose again to show His great and mighty power and His power to give eternal life. And if we will trust in that wonderful plan of salvation, we will have eternal life. That is the gospel. That is God's plan of salvation. Now, in order for you to truly believe and understand this plan, the Holy Spirit must enlighten you. Now, understand, I can give you the facts about God's plan of salvation, but that doesn't mean, even though it's a simple plan, that you can really understand it or truly accept it apart from the Holy Spirit of God working in you. So, how do you know? How do you know that the Holy Spirit is working in you and that you've truly embraced this wonderful plan of salvation? Well, first of all, you will recognize this enlightenment has occurred by your acceptance of the fact that you are a sinful being in need of forgiveness from a holy God. I remember the day I accepted Christ as my Savior, and the preacher was preaching, and I remember the sense of conviction, of remorse I felt in my heart as I was confronted with my sin. But then I remember the great peace I had as I walked out that door, and it felt like a great weight had been lifted off of my shoulders. How did that happen? That happened because God really convinced me that I was a sinner in need of forgiveness. And without that convincing from the Holy Spirit, you can't truly accept God's plan of salvation. That has to be there. This is what is described as repentance in the Bible. Repentance is an agreeing with God that your sin is bad and that it needs to be done away with in your life. It is a cry from your heart for Jesus to cleanse you from your sin by His blood, and a plea to help you avoid sin in your life. That is what Christ, that's what the Holy Spirit does in your mind and in your heart as you are confronted with the facts about salvation. And if that doesn't occur, then you really can't accept salvation. Let me be clear. If this enlightenment has not taken place in your life, you are not truly spiritual. Now, you may say, oh yeah, I believe the facts that you've presented about the plan of salvation. I believe this and that and that. But understand something. You don't really know it. Really know it. Unless this Spirit, the Spirit of God, has produced this repentance in your heart. Okay? This feeling where you realize your sin is a barrier between you and God, and you recognize the need to ask for forgiveness. But if you do have that, the good news is you can truly know that you are saved, that you have salvation, that you have eternal life. And so if you've had that experience where you have recognized your need for forgiveness from Jesus Christ, if you have recognized that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, and you've reached out to Him in faith and asked Him to forgive you, you got it. You got it. Okay? And so that's the wonderful thing about this. And you, now you have the ability to come to spiritual maturity. In the first verse that we read, Paul says, I'm speaking to the mature. And this is what he's talking about. He's talking about those who have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, who know that they have had their sins forgiven, and that barrier between them and God has been erased, and they know they have this relationship with Him where the Holy Spirit dwells in their heart. That's what we want for all people in our church. That's what we want for you. That's what Jesus wants for you. Jesus wants you to have that relationship with Him, based on His Holy Spirit enlightening you to the facts of the gospel, okay? And giving you a peace in your heart that you have had your sins forgiven. However, if you want to accept God's plan of salvation, because now you realize you are a sinner in need of Jesus and His forgiveness, now is your time of salvation. Understand that. When you come to that point where you really get a hold of the fact that, hey, I'm in need of forgiveness. I need my sins forgiven. I am a sinful being, and I need Jesus to completely cleanse me of my sins and forgive me by His blood. Now is your time. Now is the time where the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and giving you the ability to accept His plan of salvation, to accept His Son. So if that's the case, right now, accept Christ into your heart. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and be your Savior. And He will. He will. Okay? And you will know that in your heart because the Holy Spirit of God has confirmed it to you. That is the kind of relationship we want people to have in the church. That's the kind of relationship we want people to have. But we can't produce that with gimmicks. We can't produce that with programs. We cannot produce that. Only God can do that. And that's what we want to see, right? We don't want to see us just working. We want to see God working, okay? And that's why we want to focus on being truly spiritual. And being truly spiritual means that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives and He has revealed the plan of salvation. And that's why the Apostle Paul is like, hey, you know what? I'm not gonna deal with anything else except for Christ crucified. I'm gonna keep my ministry focused on Christ crucified. Because if people don't understand that, then we're just wasting our time. We're just wasting our time, and people can't be truly spiritual unless they know that. So there is that, okay? All right, let's look at verse 12 through 14. Verse 12 through 14. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but by the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, one of the things that I asked you on your reading schedule is, what does the Holy Spirit do for us? Well, we talked about one, right? He confirms the plan of salvation in our hearts. But He also makes you spiritual by showing you spiritual truths. By showing you spiritual truths. These verses make it clear that apart from the Holy Spirit working in your heart, you cannot understand spiritual things. You can't. The Holy Spirit is received when you put faith in Christ. We just talked about that. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to confirm the promises and gifts that God has in store for all who love Him. Notice that it says He reveals the things of God and that we might know that we have the things that God has freely given to us. You see, when you have this experience with God where you enter into this salvation relationship with Him and His Spirit convinces you His word, that Jesus is the Savior, and that you need His forgiveness for your sins, then you have a whole bunch of promises available to you from God. And it's the Holy Spirit's duty to reveal those promises to you and to confirm that you have those promises. And so it's a wonderful thing that the Holy Spirit does for us, to show us the promises of God and to confirm those promises and gifts that He gives to us who love Him. Now, in order to really know the promises and gifts that you have from God, the Holy Spirit must confirm them in your heart. Philip Yancey says this: humans can perceive only 30% of the range of the sun's light and 1/70th of the spectrum of electromagnetic energy. Many animals exceed those abilities. Bats detect insects by sonar. Pigeons navigate by magnetic fields. Bloodhounds perceive a world of smell unavailable to us. Perhaps the spiritual or unseen world requires senses activated only through some sort of spiritual quickening. As Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. That goes right along with what we've been saying. And the Apostle Paul said, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. Both expressions tell us that some truths are available only to a person who is spiritually alive. And these truths are the ones spoken of in this passage, where the Holy Spirit reveals His promises and His gifts to us. That can only happen as we are spiritually enlightened. Now, look at John chapter 14 for a moment. The Gospel of John chapter 14, in verses 26 and 27. Jesus is speaking, and He reveals something about our relationship with Him. This is Jesus speaking, and He's talking to His disciples, and this is what He says in verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now look at the next verse. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Wow. I want you to see something here. First of all, I want you to notice that what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He will be our teacher. That's what this verse is telling us. The Holy Spirit will be a teacher that guides us in the spiritual aspects of our life by connecting us to the teachings of Jesus Christ. It says, everything that I've taught you, Jesus says, everything I've taught you, the Holy Spirit is going to bring that to your remembrance. And He's going to use what I have taught you to guide your life, to guide you in all aspects of life in a spiritual way. That's what we have with the Holy Spirit. I also want you to notice, because this has to do with verse 12 of 2 Corinthians, I also want you to notice that we are told, just like in verse 12, we will know the things freely given to us by God. Now you say, well, yeah, you said that. What are those things? Verse 27, the peace of God, right? my peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. How do you know that? How do you experience the peace of God in your life? I mean a true spiritual peace. Can you work that up on your own? No. That comes from the Holy Spirit of God. That's what we see in verse 12 and the other passage verses in Corinthians. The Holy Spirit, that's what His job is. His job is to confirm in your heart the things that have been freely given to you by God, right? One of the things that have been freely given to you by God's grace is the peace of Jesus Christ. Ask the Holy Spirit to confirm that in your heart. He will. He will, because that's His job. You say, I've been lacking peace lately. I've been anxious and I've been frustrated and I haven't had any peace in my life. God's Holy Spirit wants to give you that peace. He wants to show you you have that peace available to you, and God wants you to have it. Reach out to Him and say, Holy Spirit, will you please confirm in my heart the peace of Jesus Christ? And He will. And He will. And you will have the peace that passes all understanding. That is one of the wonderful blessings of having this relationship with God. And that's how you know you're truly spiritual. Truly spiritual people are not guided by their own motivation, by what they have inside themselves. You know, we see that thought in the world, right? Look within yourself for your strength, right? No! Look to God! Look to God and He will give you a strength, an inner strength. He will give you peace because that's what He wants for you. He wants to bring it from above. You see the difference? Not you generating it from below, but Him giving it to you from above. Okay? Now, with that said, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and give you spiritual discernment and to confirm in your heart the blessings He has for you. Okay? So, not only connected in that is the gifts He wants to reveal to you, but He wants to give you spiritual discernment as well. And we're going to talk about that next. Because the Holy Spirit, and this is my third point, the Holy Spirit makes you spiritual by showing you how to evaluate everything. The Holy Spirit makes you spiritual by showing you how to evaluate everything. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 15 and 16. In verse 15 it says, but he who is spiritual judges all things. So if you're truly spiritual, you'll be able to judge all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now notice the truly spiritual man will be able to judge all things. That's what the Bible tells us, okay? This means that as we are guided by the Holy Spirit, we will be able to evaluate our life and life in general in a spiritually accurate way. Okay? Now, how can we do this? How can we do this? Because there's something else that the Holy Spirit confirms that we have freely given to us by God. The mind of Jesus Christ. That's what it says. We actually have the mind of Jesus Christ indwelling us. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is indwelling us. So how can we evaluate life and be spiritually accurate in our assessments of life? How can that be? It can only be because we have been given a gift from God, the mind of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means that the Holy Spirit reveals the mind of Christ in us. We can actually think like Jesus would if he was thinking about the same thing. Think about that for a minute. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to think like Jesus in any situation we find ourselves. That's what it means. Now, that is a great gift. And if you have this gift, then you are truly spiritual. To be able to think like Christ in any situation that we face is truly marking someone that is spiritual. Not spiritual like the world, but truly spiritual like Christ. That is what we have available to us by the Holy Spirit's power. That's why the Apostle Paul earlier in this in his letter to Corinth said, look, I'm preaching Christ crucified in the power of the Holy Spirit so that the faith that is produced in you is by the power of God. That's what he said. He didn't want us to have a faith that was just based on a few facts or just based on our own knowledge. He wanted it to be a faith that was produced by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit. And that is the faith that we have in Christ. And if you have that faith in Christ, then you are truly spiritual. And you have something wonderful. You have a confirmation and a peace in your heart that you know that when you die, because you've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you are going to go to heaven. And not only that, because you have the Holy Spirit of God working in your life, you are able to rest on the promises of God and know that when he says he's going to give you peace, that he is going to give you peace. When you see that he's going to give you spiritual discernment to evaluate things in your life, you know he's going to do that. And as you see him do it, as you see him help you evaluate things in your life, it confirms the blessings of God and confirms that you are truly spiritual. That is the kind of relationship that Jesus has provided for you, that the Holy Spirit makes possible in you. And that is the kind of relationship that we should strive for in our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.